Good afternoon. It's good to see everyone who is willing and able to come back this afternoon to study another portion of God's Word. Before we begin, this is the last Sunday of the month, so Joy and I will be coming up to clean sometime this week, so nobody has to worry about staying and cleaning up. We're going to come take care of that. I actually had planned to talk about the prophet Joel today, but I did not get as far into that study as I wanted to be able to present that lesson. So I pulled out a lesson I'd given before, not knowing what Brother Dennis was going to talk about this morning. And this kind of makes a nice companion to that, as he was talking about this morning about denominations and different organizations that consider themselves Christians. We realize that right along with that comes people who profess to be Christians, and then they'll turn around and say and do things in public that are definitely not something that Jesus would do. We realize that the word Christian means to be Christ-like or to be an imitator of Christ. So for people who claim to have that desire to be like Christ, then when they say or do or support things that are not Christian-like, of course, that sheds a bad light on anybody who wants to be a Christian. And so my lesson today is primarily going to be focused on some of the attributes that Jesus had, and how as his followers, that these are aspects of his personality and the way that he lived that we should emulate in our desire to be good Christians and the children of God. I had a couple pages of notes here, and Joy said, that looks awful long, so I'm going to try to keep it as close to the time as I can. I'll apologize ahead of time for that. The first scripture I'd like to read is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, begin reading with verse 1. John 3, beginning with verse 1. And all the scriptures that I'll be quoting are coming from the King James translation. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak what we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So here we see that Jesus talks about the importance of becoming a child of God and the importance of following after the things that Jesus does. We want to be people that walk in the light because Jesus represented the light. We don't want to be those who hide in darkness because we're afraid if people will see what we do and how we act. We're supposed to be lights and examples to a lost and dying world, and that means doing things the way God has asked us to do it. When we think about becoming a Christian, we realize that submitting to the will of God is in itself an act of selfishness. We have decided when we take the steps of salvation, that we've heard the scripture, we've read it, we understand what it means, it causes within us a repentance, a change of mind and heart. We confess that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we're baptized for the remission of our sins. If we've done that for the correct reasons, we've done that because we want to go to heaven. And it often causes conflict with other people that we love and care about, but it's one of the few times that you can say an act of selfishness is actually something that's positive. And because we are selfish enough to want that for ourselves, we realize that it's because we want to go to heaven. I'd like now to read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Also Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. We realize that when we choose a mate, that oftentimes it causes us to have to set aside our relationships with friends and family, our parents. Sometimes we might choose someone to marry that they're not fully supportive of or are happy with, but we realize that that's a commitment that we're supposed to consider that a lifelong commitment when we decide to make that step of joining with another person in the bonds of marriage. And we realize that it requires us to put our spouse above what other people want us to do. And this is something that is used time and again in the New Testament to illustrate the relationship between Jesus and the church. That the bride is like the church is like the bride of Christ, and He loved His bride enough to die for it. And we certainly need to love Jesus enough to live the way that He asks us to live, and to follow the example that He has set for us. And as we said, oftentimes this is going to cause us to come into conflict with other people. There may be times where it even causes us to perhaps to give up our job and find another job when we can't operate there in a way that a Christian should, or it becomes a environment in which a Christian can't effectively do what they're supposed to do without going against the will of God. And so we realize that this is something that we have to consider in putting God first. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what if a man profiteth, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now that last verse, verse 28, is one we should always keep in handy in our minds. So when we're talking to people like Brother Dennis mentioned this morning from other denominations that are still looking for the kingdom to come to be established here on the earth, it's like Jesus said that there were people that heard him at that time speaking that would see his kingdom come. So if they want to believe that it's something that's still supposed to happen, there's some 2,000-year-old people wandering around over there in the Middle East, and we realize that the kingdom came when this church was established. So once we've been baptized, Jesus says, or once we become a child of God, if we take up his cross or his mission, which we realize was to spread the gospel throughout the world and to live by what the gospel teaches and show the example that it sets, we realize that this is how we maintain our salvation. And this is how once we've committed to become a Christian, just like we've committed to a marriage, it's something we have to work at. It's not something that we can just sit back and say, I'm a Christian now, and think that that's all we have to do in order to get to heaven. We have work we have to do, and it has to be done in the right way and by the right doctrine, which was so well brought out this morning. We realize that Jesus is the example that we should aspire to. A lot of times people will turn to Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This isn't supposed to be used by us as a crutch or an excuse for why we fall short, and it's like, I'm human, I make mistakes, and certainly that is true, but we cannot be using that as an excuse for why we're not doing everything that we're supposed to do. Jesus was someone who came, he lived in the same environment we did. Of course, culture has changed and time has changed, but the reality of the basic things of life that cause us to sin today still existed back in the days in which he lived. And certainly he was confronted by the same trials and tribulations and temptations that we face, but he was able to overcome those. And that's why he was the acceptable sacrifice to God for our sins. And that's why he is to us the perfect example of how we're supposed to live and to do everything that we can to emulate that. We're not going to be perfect, but we need to try to be as close as we possibly can and not let that the fact that we will make mistakes cause us to be slack in what we're supposed to do. I'd like now to look at some of the characteristics that were displayed by Jesus, and again, as we're supposed to be emulating him and copying him and patterning our lives after the way he lived, we certainly want to look at some of the things that he did and be sure that we're emulating those. One of the first things I'd like to talk about is Jesus did not display pride. If there was any individual who ever lived who had the right to be proud, it would have been Jesus. He was the Son of God. Yet his denial of self for the common good of spreading God's word is an example to us that we need to examine and to follow. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." So here Jesus is trying to tell this person that the importance is God and what God wants us to do. And certainly Jesus is the one through whom we worship God, but he did not demand or expect or want that kind of adulation while he was here upon the earth. He wanted people to look at him as being a man that was sent by God to complete the mission that God had for him, and he did not want it to be treated special in any way. We realize that Jesus had a very humble birth. To kind of save on a little bit of time, I'll skip over reading these scriptures entirely. But if you turn over to the Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, it tells us the story of the birth of Jesus. And I'm sure we're all very familiar with that, how Joseph took Mary down to Bethlehem, as they were required at that time by the Roman Empire, was taking a census. And they all had to return to their hometowns in order to take part of that. And Joseph and Mary, both being the descendants of David through Nathan and Solomon, that's where they were required to go in order to take part in this. And when they got to Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to Jesus. And that, again, that's a story we're very familiar with. But we realize that Jesus came into the world in very humble beginnings. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he was born into the family of a poor carpenter, and someone who lived a very humble consider probably a poverty level area that he grew up in. If you remember when Jesus was picking the apostles, Philip, after he chose Philip, Philip ran and told Nathanael that they found the Messiah, and he's Jesus of Nazareth, and Nathanael said, "What good thing comes out of Nazareth?" It was a place that didn't really have a very good reputation. It was a poor area and poor reputation, and yet those are the humble beginnings that Jesus grew up in. And so we need to realize that regardless of our upbringing, again, we need to overcome the things in life that challenge us spiritually and let Jesus be an example of how we are supposed to live and not to let pride come into our lives. Another thing about Jesus, and this is kind of superficial, but it's something that obviously, through the ages, artists have tried to create various representations of what Jesus looked like. And we really only have one clue as to what Jesus' physical appearance was, and that's found actually in the prophecy of Isaiah in 53 and verse 2. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And it shows us again that Jesus is just going to be he was going to come in the form of a regular man. He wasn't going to be extraordinarily handsome or or physically fit. He was just going to look like another person. It wasn't going to be how he looked that was going to be important. It was what he did and what he taught. And we realize that along with that, we can talk a little bit about Jesus' reputation. I'd like now to turn over to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 51 and 52. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This talking about the early life of Jesus. This is really the only, one of the very few things that we know about his childhood. Now I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 54. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So when Jesus returned back to Nazareth after he had been out preaching a bit, the people there were kind of dumbfounded because they knew him. They remembered Jesus as being the son of Joseph and a carpenter that no doubt worked with his father. Or we don't really know when Joseph died. The scripture doesn't tell us that. But if Jesus, being the oldest son, would have been responsible for carrying on the business after his father, after Joseph died. And so this is the area where he grew up. The people knew him. They knew that he was a good person, but they couldn't understand why he had the ability to teach the way that he did and to be able to do the miracles that he could perform, because they were aware of his upbringing and realized that he wasn't taught in the synagogues like some of the wealthier families were. And they just couldn't really understand where Jesus had gotten all of this ability, and they weren't ready to accept that it came from God. John, the first chapter, going to read verses 45. Well, I'm going to skip over that because we just talked about that. That's where Philip went to Nathanael, and they were talking about the reputation of Nazareth. Matthew 11 and verse 19. "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children.'" Here Jesus was being talking about how he was criticized because of the people that he associated with. And this reminds me of something that I saw on YouTube. It was from one of these televangelist programs. And these two guys were talking about their private jets that they flew around the country to the various meetings that they held and whatnot, and how this private jet was important to them because they were closer to God physically, because they're up there in the air and they're not trapped in a plane with a bunch of heathens. And when I was listening to that and watching that, it made me think about, what would Jesus do if he was alive today? If Jesus was alive today and he was going about trying to spread the word, he wouldn't be in a private jet. He'd be on a Greyhound bus, because Jesus realized that his message was going to be more readily accepted, and that he was going to have the best chance of reaching as many people as he could by talking to the people that really needed some kind of hope and something to look forward to. And so, as we mentioned before, these people in the world that profess to be Christians and yet they're talking about things like flying around on private jets and stuff, we realize that that's nothing like what Jesus would do. Jesus would be down with the common people trying the best that he could to convince them of what salvation meant and what it had to offer them, that was far beyond any of the worldly possessions or the physical comfort that they could have in this life. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.' And he spake this parable unto them, saying, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So Jesus was, as we'd say in some of today's language, he was all about helping as many people as he possibly could, and he realized that the best environment for that was to go to the people who literally had little to no hope in this life. And that's why he constantly condemned the scribes and the Pharisees for their ways and their greed. And of course, it doesn't take much to look into the world today and see the same kind of thing is happening with all these organizations, these denominations where the heads of these organizations live in million-dollar homes and are flying around the country in private jets and everything, and they're about as far from a Christian as you could possibly get, and yet they claim to be Christians and claim to be working, doing the work of God, and yet everything about their lives and the way that they act and the things that they say are quite contrary to that. Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It's important for us to understand that when Jesus, we talk about being like Jesus, it's like nowhere in the scriptures do we find where Jesus expects us to live in poverty, nowhere that we're required to do that. That's certainly something that he did. And the apostles pretty much gave up their professions to follow after him and to spread the word. The scriptures does not tell us that that's something that's necessary for our salvation, but it's something I think we need to be mindful of about how much Jesus was willing to give up of the earthly standing and reputation that he could gain in this life in order to do the things that God asked him to do. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, one of, out of whom he sent 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. So, as Jesus and the apostles and his band of followers went about, there were women there that used of the substance that they had gained in order to support the work of Jesus. And again, their idea was all about, it wasn't about physical comfort or the sights that they could see or the great cities of the Roman Empire at that time that they could go visit. It was all about bringing the word to a lost and dying world. Another thing we think about when we think about the life of Jesus is success. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'd like also to read from John chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. After these sayings, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world, for neither did his brethren believe in him. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So we see here that Jesus wasn't really about, I'm sure he enjoyed success. He enjoyed when he was able to convert people. But something that we have to realize is that our salvation isn't measured by our success. It's measured by our willingness to try to help other people come to the truth before it's everlastingly too late. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we have to convert X number of people in order to secure our salvation, but it does indicate that we need to try. And one of the ways that we do that is by living a good Christian life and being a good example and following the example that Jesus set. I'd like now to turn over to John chapter 5 and begin reading in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they that are which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Jesus had authority from God to establish a new covenant here upon the earth, and he did everything up to it, including begging and pleading the Jews to open their eyes and to open their minds and hearts and to understand that he was the Messiah that God had promised to the children of Israel, and yet they rejected him again and again because they were selfish in the wrong way, and it's like they were only willing to accept what God gave them if it's what they wanted in the way they wanted it. And of course, that's something that we see again in the world today, that so many people are losing sight of what it is that God really expects of us because they're wanting somebody to tell them that what they do is okay instead of telling them the truth. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spoke openly to him for fear of the Jews. And now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether it speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whether I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak of the world, those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sendeth me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So people continued to be amazed by the things that Jesus said, taught. Not only were they amazed by his miracles, but they were amazed by his knowledge of the Old Testament and the things that he taught concerning the Word of God. And so we realize today that we, as Christians, we don't have spiritual gifts. All we have is ourselves, our personalities, the things that we've learned through life, and the examples that we've learned from those other Christians who are much older than us or who have passed on from this life. And we need to share those every opportunity that we have, just as Jesus shared of himself. Jesus also demonstrated humility. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 24. There was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For neither is greater he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth. Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appointed you unto I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I was also going to read, I'll skip this for time, John chapter 3. I'm sorry, John chapter 13, verses 3 through 20. And we'll read Matthew 11, beginning verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So these scriptures are talking about the idea of being humble, how as a Christian we have a very rich blessing. And people can look at us and they may not think we have the nicest house or drive the best cars or wear the best clothes, but if we're doing the things that God expects us to do, we're in a position that few people in the world can claim to be in, and that's a state of salvation and working towards a chance of going to heaven. And so just as Jesus was humble about who he was and what he had to do, we as Christians have to be humble as well. That doesn't mean we have to be silent. Whenever we have a chance to try to teach people the truth, we need to speak out, but we also need to be humble and not lord our knowledge and understanding of the scriptures over people and to try to make them feel bad, but to try to help people learn the truth of what the Bible teaches. There are several more things that we can talk about today that talk about the great example that Jesus set. I had some scriptures here about obedience and love and other things that that Jesus did that I think are very good examples to us. And I think this is something that it's important for us to think about from time to time and to strongly consider how we're living and the things that we're doing and to make sure that we are following the example that Jesus set for us. Everything about Jesus and the way he presented himself contradicts what most people would expect out of someone with the power and authority that Jesus had. I'm sure that we've all from time to time worked with somebody who got a promotion in their job, and it's like you come to work one day and the next day you come and you're promoted, and it's like it's a different person standing there in the same skin. They've totally, their attitude and everything's totally changed because they've been given some authority and power. But we realize that Jesus was not like that. He had the greatest authority and power in the world, and yet he was a very humble and loving person and one that wants us to emulate the way that he lived and the personality traits that he demonstrated. So as we continue to go about our daily lives, we need to strongly consider how we are emulating Jesus. I'd like to close with a couple of scriptures. The first one's from Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This again harkens back to our lesson this morning about the doctrines of men versus the doctrines of God. There's a lot of people out there who feel totally justified and right in the things that they teach that are contrary to what the Bible teaches. But we realize that we need to follow Jesus first and foremost, and that we can't let the thoughts of men or our own thoughts or things that make us comfortable dissuade us from the truth. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This is a scripture I think we kind of constantly need to remind ourselves of, as I try to remind myself of it, is that our responsibility first and foremost is to God and to live the way that God wants us to live, and to realize that there are things that we might be able to hide from other people, but we can't hide those things from God. And so we need to exorcise evil from our life as much as we possibly can. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So hopefully some things have been said this afternoon that will help us to be mindful of following the example that Jesus set. While we can never be perfect, we need to try to be as close as we possibly can to that. And we realize that on the day of judgment, we're going to be judged by the way we've lived, and certainly by the attitude with which we've lived. And we want to make sure that all those things are in keeping with the way that God expects us to be doing that if we want to achieve eternal life. We never want to close a lesson or a service without extending an invitation to those who desire the services of the church to come while we stand and sing.